thank you for coming again. I'd like to thank Rob for inviting us again or dragging us into this, whichever you think. Right, my partner, Dan, my partner's up in the room right now getting the PowerPoint presentation, okay? Apparently, we had a small malfunction last night. What had to do with alcohol. But a couple of things I want to show you. One of the things, last year I think I showed you a nipped alligator that we had in black that was done as a repo. And I had those painted in the last couple of weeks. And I'm going to have Jim walk back and forth. Now he's got an original in his hand and he's got a duplicate in his hand. Okay? Why don't you walk down the aisle and show him? And we made, I think, four of them. Is that how many we made extra? And I'm going to be selling those for $50. And 20 of those dollars goes to the Hall of Fame, okay? So if anybody's interested and would like one of those four, they should see me afterwards, okay? So I think they turned out wonderful. Yeah, well, I had to give one to Mike Hanley. Mike Hanley was gracious enough to give us the original, by the way. And what happened, just a funny story, he shipped it from Canada to Milwaukee, and after 7 months, it still hadn't shown up. And it was returned back to him for insufficient postage because during the time he had shipped it, the postage had gone up. So that's a good little things that happened. The talk today is going to be on how you, one method of polishing stainless steel parts in a pinball game, and that's like the lockdown bars, the old coin doors, the ramps, ball guides, all that kind of stuff. We're going to show you one of our methods. There's many methods of doing this, so this is just one of the many. I'd like to show you that. And when I got involved with doing this, I had to go out and buy quite a bit of materials. And I bought the packs at 100 packs for the sanding disc. And when I've got them here, and I'm selling them for $5. Okay, we're going to give a bunch of them away for free, but I got them for $5. And if anybody wants one, just see me. It's got the grits all the way from, I believe, 220 all the way up to 1200. Plus, it's got three pieces of Scotch-Brite in here, coarse, medium, and fine, if anybody's interested. And one of these will do about one or two pieces of stainless steel. So we'd like you to stick around. We've got a whole table full of freebies we're going to give away. And what we're going to do is we're going to give out tickets in a little while, and we're going to call the number out, and then there's going to be a pinball trivia or a rock and roll question. And if you get it wrong, you still get a prize. If you get it right, you get something off the table. And there's some trans lights up here and flyers and Don's glasses. Thank you, Don.
Those are $2 at Walgreens. Well.
So, okay.
You want go over and put your jump drive in there, buddy.
He says what's
wrong.
He's recovered from last night.
I've recovered. I've recovered from loss of the jump drive so we can find, you know, some pictures to show you. Is everybody having a decent expo so far this year?
Yeah.
Good time. Who loves Windows products? Let's hear it for Bill Gates. Okay. Good afternoon and thanks for your patience. This is Mark Bakula.
And this is Don Caldwell.
And your mic's not on.
And that is Don Caldwell.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Did you thank Mr.
Yeah, I already thanked Mr.
You've been some thanking. Okay. Now, after indulging your patience, we'll be going to teach you a little bit about refinishing stainless steel pin parts today. Go ahead, Harold. Here's our agenda. Our first section is called When Bad Things Happen to Good Lock Bars. We're going to see welds, pop rivets, carriage bolts, talk about welding and grinding, then polishing and regraining, and the tools, techniques, and supplies you're going to need for that. Then we're going to move on to polishing and regraining some other common items, coin doors and rails, ramps, and playfield parts. Then to the ever-popular section, are you crazy? I don't have a welder. And we're going to talk about bonding with a structural adhesive. Then it's trivia time. Did you get your tickets? Anybody who came in late, they're going to get a ticket. And you can choose whether you want a pinball or a rock and roll question. Okay, now, seriously. You know, we've seen nudity up here, we've seen violence. We'll certainly see more violence, but the following, you're going to see some graphic images of abused lock bars.
Oh.
This is heat discoloration from a rewelding job. Go ahead. This is a crater from poor resistance welding or spot welding. This is pop rivets. We all love the way those feel under your knuckles. And what if the parts are so misaligned that you can't even use the lock bar that you just rewelded? Or some little vandal's been getting a screwdriver under the corner of your lock bar. Or the dreaded carriage bolts. Keep your eye on Carriage Bolt Monster. We'll be seeing that later, and we've actually brought Carriage Bolt Monster with us as our structural adhesive sample. And finally, we all have scratches. Mark?
Okay, we want to repair or replace. Now, you probably know if you've got a WPC game, there's a lot of people making the regular size and the wide. Bay Area Amusements is one of them. A couple of other people make them. And I think they're about $65 for the regular size and about $110 or $115. So you may decide, if you bought a game that has carriage bolts in it, you may decide not to use this and decide to buy one of the brand new ones. That's an option. But if what happens if you got an old game from the 60s and you want to save that lock bar and you can't find a replacement because it's an oddball or one of those type of situations? We're going to be able to show you how you can repair those old ones.
And almost every lock bar in your collection, and I'll be checking your collections later, could probably use a good polishing and regraining on the lock bars.
Okay, so lock bars and pieces must be rewelded. That is not necessarily a true statement. There is an option, and we'll explore that with some adhesive fastener a little later on.
Most of you won't be doing the welding yourself, so we're just going to tell you where you can find some welding help.
Yes. So the what we use is TIG welding. We have some examples of TIG welding up here that were done. It's tungsten or gas welding, done at quite a few of the machine shops. And we use a 347 alloy wire for it.
So if you're going to try this, you go to your Yellow Pages, you look under welding, you will find people that do odd job welding. And the things to ask them are, do you do TIG welding on stainless steel? And you want to have that 347 alloy.
Or something comparable, yes. Okay. What does it do? It leaves discoloration. I think you saw the discoloration. And we're going to show you a discoloration of a recently welded lock bar. So Bill will walk it down there. And what happens after the welding is obviously you have a nice bump, okay, because they have to fill in. If they fill in insignificantly, you'll get that crater effect that you saw in the beginning. So.
Now up front, we're going to show you live on the camera at the end how you're going to set up and do holding. But we're also going to have some photographs coming up next to show you how to set up in a vise for a lock bar and how to set up in a workmate. And later on, you're going to see how we did a coin door. The lock bar has to be raised up. It has to be higher so that you can have access to the long side and the short sides. There's a vise. And next we have in a workmate. It's a very handy thing. You see the block of wood in the center there. And that's just raising it up. And it holds it nice and tight. Now, if you're going to grind off one of those big nasty lumps of weld, you're going to need an angle grinder. And you're going to use a flexible grinding disc. And there's an art to this, so the first one you do may not be the best one you do. Because if you put gouges in the thing, the gouges could be so deep that you may not be able to get them back out again. You got to go flat to the surface. You've got to leave the weld slightly high. You don't want to gouge it out. And you have to leave a surface that you can clean up with 60 grit. But you're probably not going to be doing welding. You're probably not going to round by an angle grinder. Here's the meat of the situation, polishing and regraining. A lot of these things you can do a lock bar in probably under an hour, a coin door from on the machine to back on the machine, less than 2 hours, easily. You're going to need a random orbit, also known as a dual action sander. You're going to need sanding discs in the following grits. 60, as I mentioned before, 150, 220, 400, 600, 1000, 1200. You can get the 60 up through 220 from the hardware store. Go ahead, Mark.
Now, this is where I found the other ones, the 320 all the way up to 1200. I bought them out of this woodworking shop. They were reasonably priced at probably just about under $1 a sheet or so if you bought a large package of them. You're also going to need, when you're all done, you're going to need to get some Scotch-Brite pads. Those are available at many, many different local hardware stores. And it comes in about, I think, like five basic grits, We use the three medium grits.
Paint stores are going to have the best prices on those.
So what? How do we do this polishing? We're going to give you a PowerPoint presentation. That's the intention, hopefully. Nothing else will go wrong. Then we're going to set the camera. We're actually going to do a demo right here, okay, of a lockdown bar. At the same time, I've asked Rob here, who doesn't even know that he just got asked, to do something else. I'm going to have him polish one of these famous rails that all of us have these nice ball marks on. I'm going to have him polish it in the time that they're working on the lockdown bar. I'm going to show you that.
You signed the release form, didn't you?
And you got safety glasses, don't you? Okay, good. Okay, so we're going to be doing that. That'll be after we finish the PowerPoint, then we'll actually do... We can't talk while you're probably using the herbal sander because sometimes it's a little noisy. Okay? So what do we start with? If you've got really bad gouges, you start obviously with whatever you need to get that gouge out. It's just like, I don't know if you've done any sanding on wood, but you have to go down to the base as low as it goes as far as a gouge goes. I don't recommend going to 60 unless you have to take off a fair amount of metal.
The stainless in a lock bar is very soft. Softer than some hardwoods.
That's a 300 series. Depending, some people say it's 304 and that type of thing. It's non-magnetic. It's not heat treated. So it is relatively soft. So what we recommend is that if you don't have any bad gouges, you grab about a 220 grit. And then what you're going to do is we're going to show a polishing process where you go all the way up to 1200, which will give you about a mirror finish. When you got the mirror finish, nobody, I don't think, would want to have a mirror finish on their lockdown bar because the fingerprints immediately show up and any kind of scratches or gouges. But at that point, you can start using Scotch-Brite or steel wool, and we'll show you to do that, and get the effect you want. When I say the effect you want, you have a real options here of possibly getting a different kind of finish. You could have a real fine finish or a real coarse finish, depending on what you want.
So grab a grit, and what you want to do is you may not get out all of the grain. That's not important. You want to get out all of the scratches you don't like. Any Bob loves Mary that's been carved into this thing. So you start out, and you sand along the length of the lock bar in a straight line. And anybody who's done any lacquer or shellacking, you want to do what's called flying in and flying out. You take the sander, and you come at it, and you come down, and you come off. You come in, you come down, you come off. You do not go back and forth, because every time you stop and reverse, you're going to leave a round swirl mark. Do the sides and the ends. Again, you come at it, you hit it, and you go. Now you can get any look you like. 1200 grit's going to be a mirror. You probably may not have to go past 800, but if you go to a finer one, it's no problem. It gives you a lot more to work with. Go ahead.
Bill's going to show you what happens if you don't do the fly in and fly out. If you use the just straight back and forth and you get nice swirl marks, you'll take a look at it. That's not a problem. You can fix that. Okay, that's not.
Yeah, it can be fixed.
Everything basically can be fixed with a lot of time.
Just go back. Just go back a grit or two grits and do it right. Now that factory finish was done with brushes on the gigantic sheet of steel before it was made into parts.
Isn't that right, Larry?
Oh yeah, I watched everyone.
Thank you. So I now have
confirmation.
Larry,
run to steel mills and check that every once in a while. Now you can simulate that steel mill brush finish with Scotch-Brite pads. If you want a deeper one, you can actually go back to sandpaper. Very simply, regraining with the Scotch-Brite pads, do it with a block. Just get a block of wood. I'm selling these blocks of wood for $35 a piece. These are custom engineered. And just see me after the show. So brush the finish on with the Scotch-Brite pads. You use a block. You use the opposite. Now you use the coarsest grit and you went to the finest. When you're regraining, you start with the finest and work to the coarse grits to get the effect that you want. So you have a lot of control over this. You work in a straight line. You don't have to worry about flying in. You can put it down on there and then push it. But don't scrub it. Don't go sideways. And actually pay attention that your hand is going straight along the direction you want the grain line. That's a before, typical, and that's what you're going to have in half an hour's work.
Bill's going to show you a couple of examples.
So now we're showing you a slide to show on polishing some of the other items very simply. Now, go ahead, coin doors. Be sure you're working on a stainless coin door. If it's showing some rust or it is a plated coin door, you do not want to attack this with a dual action sander. Take the door and the frame, disassemble everything. It is not very hard. The door comes off with three nuts. There's about 9 screws, and about 15 minutes later, you'll have this. Go ahead. You're almost ready to go. Then I would recommend you try and get any dents out. You can do a little body work. If you work slowly and carefully, you're not going to screw anything up, and you're going to have a good-looking thing. Don't take a dead blow hammer and hit the door directly. Spread the blows out with a wood block of an appropriate size. When you're going to go polish, you want to put the coin door on a rubber pad or a piece of carpet. You want to protect the hinge, which is a plated piece, with a couple layers of duct tape. And then you use the same techniques as in the lock bar. You sand in one direction. But obviously with the hinge in the way, it's a little harder to avoid those swirl marks when you get towards the hinge end. So here we go. We're sanding the door. You can see the duct tape on the hinge. The 150 grit, the 220, 400, 1000, I skipped 800. And you can see we're getting shiny, and now you can see the little guy smiling at you. You can see a nice deep mirror image. You have very shiny mirror finish. When you put your fingers on this, it's just slick as can be. Now you want to regrade. Now what is this turkey doing wrong? He's not using the officially engineered Don Caldwell block, $35 CBM for the show. Here's your before, here's your after, and there's your door. I did the whole thing in under 2 hours, and I was taking pictures.
Bill?
You want to take that around?
What about the recess where the lock is?
Generally, you know, I was lucky. I didn't have any big gouges or scratches in there. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me repeat the question. He said, what about the recess for the lock, right? Luckily, we didn't have any gouges in the ones we've seen. If it's gouged out, you're not going to be easily get in there with a sander. But that lock bezel will cover a lot of it, and you can still get in there and do the regraining with the Scotch-Brite. It's very flexible. So you can work on the grain and blend that in, but if you've got a major scratch in there, that is a very tough thing to get out. But all you're going to see is maybe, you know, an eighth of an inch of it from where the that rolls off down to the to where it meets the bezel of the lock. Good question. Thank you. Okay. Side rails. People argue whether they're difficult or hard to remove. I hate removing them. You can do regraining and sanding with them on the game. Obviously, the top's very easy. But the side, it just need to take a little precautions. And if there's no major scratches on it, you may want to regrain or just use Scotch-Brite and not even go at it with a sander. So here I am attacking my firepower. And we just simply use a little cardboard, manila folder that's thinner than the stainless steel, and tape that with some painter's masking tape so it won't lift any paint. And here I am regraining with the highly engineered wood solid prismatic sanding block. Now ramps. Take them out of the game, please. Again, you want to put these on a non-slip surface, like a rubber pad, which we neglected to bring today. You only want to sand them if they're really deeply scratched or grooved. And hopefully nobody carved their initials in one of your ramps, but we've seen worse. Don't want to bend it. These have all got very highly engineered, gentle curves in them, so you don't want to bend this. But you can sand it. You can go then back and finish with the Scotch-Brite pad. And again, you want to move that pad in a straight line to duplicate the original finish. There's another ramp right behind it that we've done. A before picture, Black Knight, and the ramp after. This one I did not sand. I just regrained with a Scotch-Brite, a couple of different grits of Scotch-Brite.
Oh, we've got a... We've got a part of a rail here. Take a look on this side. I've spent about 4 minutes doing this. You'll see this on this side, the original condition.
Okay. Now, the thing you're going to notice is you're going to put this back in here, and those ball tracks are going to be back in about, I don't know, 3 hours or less. So you got to decide whether you really want to go after these things. If it's really dirty and nasty, it'll at least give you a nice even surface. But those ball tracks, unfortunately, are going to come back in that soft stainless pretty damn fast. Okay, Mark, why don't you take it for a while?
Okay, so I don't have a welder, and I can't find somebody to weld my stuff. What are we going to do? Well, there's a couple of options here, and that adhesive bonding is one of them, type of thing. It's used in the automotive. If you've got a Ford, any of the minivans there, the panels are for the bumper systems are bonded with an adhesive, which is, Ford uses this adhesive right here.
Never drop that stuff.
So it's an adhesive. It works. It's expensive, and Don's got a better solution than this. But this is where
that
we started.
That tube is $40. The double caulking gun is $75.
So
it probably causes cancer in California too.
So we've got. You can either use, as I mentioned here, it's an 8115 panel bonding material from 3M, or we have another option, and that is JB Weld. Which is $4.19 at your store. And Don, actually, we've got it right here, roughed up the surfaces of both pieces.
Go ahead.
There it is. You can see the two pieces are separated. Unfortunately, Don failed to do something very important, didn't he, here, right, gentlemen and ladies? He didn't fill in the holes. Want to jump back before he welded it? See that?
Yes, the carriage hole monster. I don't have a welder, so I didn't fill in the holes.
So he did. You can see he roughed up the surface. Then he made some JB Weld, put it on there, clamped it up, and allowed to cure for 24 hours.
I switched from the heavy beer seal to a little bit lighter weather strip, and adjusted my latch for minimum pressure. And the carriage bolt monster becomes a usable if scarred lock bar. Very strong. The only way it's going to come off is like if you come down there and your nephew's got a crowbar and he's, you know, trying to get at the quarters that he thinks are inside. But I think in our kind of application and home use, we're not going to have any problem using a little JB Weld.
Don't sleep in my lectures.
Okay. I know we ran through that kind of quick. Why don't we take some questions now and then we will do the live demo?
Then we're going to do a live demo. We've got an obviously camera set up because it'd be very difficult for you to see what we're going to be doing. Okay, type of thing, and hopefully we can get it to work better than we did setting up. Then we're going to go to
the lock bar you would say
on. You got your choice. We can take this one right here. And while what we're going to do is Mr. Hayes is going to right here. He's going to take this one's got. I don't know if you could, Bill. You want to show this one when you get back? This one's got some nice ball guide grooves in it, and we're going to give him some Scotch-Brite. We're going to use just a 3 Scotch-Brite process on this. And he's gonna fix it for us. All right. Yes. Okay. We got lucky. Okay. Don's gonna set it up just like you saw before. This lockdown bar, just for the reasons of time, I've used it on a 220 already. So we're gonna start at the 400, and Don's gonna do it. Okay, Don, you wanna do a little quick demo? Now, if you've ever done demos in front of people before, you know that majority of the time things go wrong.
I'm going to get my new Bin Game Journal shirt dirty.
Oh, good. That's what I like to hear. How do we turn this thing on?
Oh, my eye!
And he's an engineer, by the way. See, there's the first thing you did wrong. You didn't hold it down very tight. Okay. Do you need somebody to hold that stand?
No, I can do it with one hand. Let me just back this up a bit and show you how I hit the ends of it. Okay, here we go.
Contact.
Just use the 400 grit and it'll run real quickly, and you'll put in the 600 grit. Just rip that right off.
Rip it off.
Right.
each grit takes.
So that was the 600. And we'll now jump into.
Oh, don't jump. It's a bad thing.
Okay.
800.
In the 800. That was 800. He'll use 1,000 and 1,200. Then we'll stop for a minute. We'll let you look at the bar, and then we're going to do some texturing of the stainless. This is 1,200. This will give us our mirror finish, or close to it.
Technical, but I don't see how the $35 block of wood is assisting in this process.
No, that was a $25 block.
That's why you need the $35
one.
That's why you need
the
camera.
No.
That's the camera.
Oh, they switched the lock bars.
Yes.
So you use your Pin Game Journal shirt.
Pin Game Journal shirt.
Oh.
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
funny.
Where's the highly engineered wooden solid?
Here it is.
Okay, so Bill's gonna show you what it looks like now that we've. Ooh. Careful, Doc.
Sorry.
Almost. So that, and you can see how fast that went. And Mr. Hayes has almost got this done already also. How fast that doesn't take long, although we don't recommend doing it on the game.
Yeah, a hotel doesn't recommend doing it on display tablecloth.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, no. Okay, you want to bring it back, Bill?
All right.
Okay, Don, why don't you tell them what you're going to do right now?
Look for the input. There it is. Okay. Back into the work thing. Crank it. Again, you start with the finer grit, which is which? So, one direction. I don't know if you can see it on the camera. Now you can, you know, do it in short increments, simulate the brushes.
Again, you want to use your shirt for this?
Now that's with the very fine.
And I'll show you how the finish looks.
Pardon?
Does it have to be a Pin Game
shirt? Oh, it has to be an official Pin Game shirt.
Pin Game Journal shirt. Game room shirts won't work.
Jim has a special buffing edition for $40.
Yeah, no, but get the buffing model. Larry is right. Get the buffing model. Don't get the regular.
Is it, you got that? Okay.
Okay.
No, no, you, that's what we just needed. Okay. You want to let me show him.
Okay.
You should do it. You should show him. You did all the work. Go ahead and brag.
Take the glory.
Come on. Go ahead. You did all the physical energy.
Wear like a crown.
Okay.
Are you on the camera?
On the side here, you'll see that it's still the original, the way I gave it to Mr. Hayes, and you'll see over here what Robert has done. Okay, I don't know if you can take a quick look at just that. And you saw that he did it in a very, very small amount of time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any more questions? Questions? Tom Taylor.
I just want to say that if you have trouble finding 220 sandpaper, you can use the toilet paper at this hotel.
All right. Very, very important thing to remember. Actually, the
can outside the sports bar is not too bad. They got the soft stuff in there for the civilians.
I have a question.
Oh. Sorry,
go ahead.
Right here.
For the ball guides, did you go from finest to coarser, which you're doing the ball guides here with the Scotch Brite, or is it...
No, it's coarse. I'm sorry. Finest to coarser.
Finest to coarser, yeah.
Finest to coarser on the Scotch.
It depends on what you're trying to remove.
Yeah, but most of mine, let's say you just got a game. A lot of those ball guides are black.
Right.
To start with.
Absolutely. Black down the middle.
Yeah, do you sand those first, or do you just go with the Scotch
guard? Those I would sand. If your ball guide or ramp is black down the middle, and it is a ramp where you can get in and sand it, you can also do the sanding by hand, but, you know, that's going to be in one direction. So you really need that randomness of the dual action sander. Then you would want to sand those things to try and get down to the surface so you can't see the ball tracks anymore. You can't see where that black was. And then again, add the grain back in one direction only, and not necessarily, you know, following the ramp, trying to make it look factory, going across and straight in one direction, and then go from finest to coarse. Okay?
Well, part B of that is...
Part B.
He didn't use any kind of Novus 2 or cleaner with that
no.
at all.
Okay. No, you don't need any liquids. It's messy enough as it is. Okay. Sir?
What about putting my clothes?
That's an interesting question.
Interesting question. We're going to try it. Maybe a carnauba wax. I mean, you can wax stainless as well as you can wax a play field. But, I mean, you're talking about a hard chrome steel ball bearing hitting one of the softest types of steel known to mankind. So
next year, we're going to try to clear coat them. We'll see how it works.
Yeah,
how's that?
There.
One question.
Yes.
For us idiot amateurs out there, what kind of eye protection do you recommend for doing this?
It's, you know, it's sanding. The sanding protection is right on the packages of the discs. It says wear everything: a bulletproof vest, eye protection, ear protection, nose protection, hair protection, whatever. Yeah, I mean, if you're a little afraid of it, I just do it outdoors. But if you're doing it in a confined area, wear a dust mask. They're big particles. Stainless is not known to do anything that particularly nasty to you. And then eye protection. I always have eye protection because I'm blind. I have to wear glasses. Right there, yeah. Right. Yeah, the blue flap he's asking about. Yeah, if your blue flap is in good condition, you want to preserve it, I'd say duct tape over that. Now, I use two layers on the hinge, and for all those different grits, even though I kept bumping and not trying to avoid bumping the double layer of duct tape, I didn't go through it with those sandpapers. Good question, thank you. Right here.
What would happen? What kind of results would you get if you skipped a step or two?
I've done it, unfortunately, and a lot of times you can get away with it, but the worst that's going to happen is going to take a lot longer to get to that step. Let's say you're at 400, okay, and it's set, and you jump to 800. What will happen is you'll use two or three times as much 800 and a lot of work, a lot of elbow grease to get to that point. It's a lot more difficult, but you can do it. You can just jump the steps. And we're not saying you have to follow this procedure. We just follow this procedure because it seemed to work well for us. And we're doing handouts right here, so that you can get all the information of what we did here today.
And we'll try and get up on our website if we can find someone to help us because we're computer illiterate.
And is there any other questions before we start the giveaways?
No.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Harold? Okay, we're going to draw
Where's
a number.
Bucket?
Don, it's right here. You want to draw the numbers? No, I'll read the question.
I don't know. Am I trustworthy enough to draw the numbers? Or maybe Rob Burke's draw a number.
Go ahead, Rob.
All right, we'll put you to work.
Ready?
Are you giving away that turntable again?
Number, 16. Call it 416.
Don.
Thanks. Was I kidding? 416.
416. Sign up, please.
Rock and roll.
Okay.
Or pinball. What's our prize, by the way?
Anything on this table except for the lockdown bars.
Anything on the table, one thing, pick it. Okay.
Pinball.
Harold? Did they make more of Funhouse or more of Star Trek Next Generation?
Next Gen.
Next Gen, he says. You got to go into a slideshow. Put the icon down at the bottom there. No, over, left, right, right. Left, right, no, no, no. Hit that thing, right over there.
F5.
There. Hit that. No, yeah, that. Whoa. No, no. Come down one.
Down arrow.
Down arrow. Whoa, back hit the up arrow. Sorry, Rudy, it's Star Trek Next Generation. Correct. Come on up. 436. 436.
Okay, stand up, please. And rock and roll or pinball?
Pinball.
Pinball. Okay.
You can just click on the slides along the side if you don't want to do that. Click three. Did they make more of Fishtails or more of High Speed 2, The Getaway? High Speed 2. High Speed 2. Fishtails beats the Speed Demon.
Chocolate.
You're welcome. And number...
Leave them on.
Hello. 405. Grandpa says 405. Pinball, somebody's going to have to take rock and roll because after 11 questions, we're going there. Give us the next slide there, Harold. Did they make more of Congo or Who Done It? Congo Bongo, he says. Who Done It, that's who.
Candy.
Candy.
464.
464.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Rock and roll or pinball?
There you go.
Rock and roll.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man.
Okay, the question is, Buddy Holly and the Crickets recorded their hit record in the Officers Club at Tinker Air Force Base in Oklahoma. Was it Maybe Baby or Peggy Sue?
Boy.
Peggy Sue.
Peggy Sue.
Let's see, and the answer is?
Maybe Baby.
All right. Next one,
Robert. Boy, we're taking all this.
486.
Four,
who was it? Who was it?
486. Anybody got 486? No 486. Okay. Oh, got it? Okay.
Pinball, rock and roll. Rock and roll.
Who played as a session guitarist on Tom Jones' 1965 hit, It's Not Unusual, Jimmy Page or Eric Clapton?
We're going Clapton. It's Led Zeppelin founder Jimmy Page.
512.
512.
I'm going to bean somebody here.
Okay, rock and roll or pinball?
Pinball.
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 Did they make more of Johnny Mnemonic or Circus Voltaire? Circus Voltaire, he says. It's Mnemonic. Remember that.
467.
467.
Way back. Rock and roll or pinball? Pinball.
Did they make more Gilligan's Islands or Monster Bash? Monster Bash, you said?
Survey says, hey, little buddy. It's Gilligan.
413. Pinball. Okay, did they make more Indiana Jones or Twilight Zone?
You are in the Twilight Zone. Come up and pick up something off the table.
Next, 455.
455.
Okay, pinball or rock and roll?
Rock and roll. The harmonica that John Lennon used to record the Beatles' Love Me Do was given to him by Queen Elizabeth. True or false? False. False. He shoplifted it from a store in Arnhem, Holland. Come on up and pick something off the table, please.
400.
400.
I'll go pinball.
We got pinball.
Well, I don't.
Did they make more Popeyes or Medieval Manners? And the answer is?
My yams, what are yams? Pick something off the table. Anything off the table except the lock bar.
518.
518. 518.
Pinball or rock and roll?
Pinball.
Are you sure about the lock bar thing?
Did they make more of Doctor Who or more Creature from the Black Lagoon? Doctor Who. The movie starts in 1 minute. It's the creature.
396.
396.
Oh, that's me.
Okay, mate.
Martin.
Better be pinball.
Pinball.
It better be pinball, he says.
Now, if he gets it wrong, are you going to report this on your newsroom?
This is going to test a test of journalistic integrity, if I ever heard one. Did they make more of Gilligan's Island or more Scared Stiff?
Gilligan's Island.
Survey says it is Gilligan.
Yeah, it's good, mate. You passed. 516.
516. Pinball, rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. In 1957, who said this? Rock and roll is phony and false and sung, written, and played for the most part by cretinous goons. Was that said by Richard Nixon or Frank Sinatra? Nixon. Old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra.
468.
468.
468, okay.
Way back.
Rock and roll or pinball?
Pinball.
Pinball.
Last pinball question. Did they make more of Popeye or more of Dirty Harry?
Popeye.
Come on now.
Oh.
You got it.
You got it. I missed that. Okay.
441.
You're getting rock and roll.
441. Okay. Stand up. Everybody wants to see it. Okay, what do you want? Rock and roll. That's what you want. Because we're out of pinballs.
On October 17th, 1990, that was the first time that the number one album in the U.S. was only available on CD or cassette, not available on vinyl. Was it Vanilla Ice's To the Extreme? And we know you have that in your collection. James Addiction's Ritual de lo Habitual. He says vanilla. Ice. Baby. Pick it off the table.
399. 399.
Okay, Chris. Rock and roll. Here we go.
Which musician was an extra during the filming of the first Beatles movie, A Hard Day's Night? The Stinger or Phil? The Antichrist Collins.
Phil Collins.
Phil Collins. Phil Collins.
425.
A true Phil Collins fan.
425.
425. You're going to get a rock and roll question.
425?
425. 425. In the month of March in 1958, Elvis Presley earned $100,000 in a month. True or false?
False.
False. In April, he made $100,000. In March, he was in the Army and made $78.
442.
Famous Oldsmobile muscle car.
During the early stages of their careers, Bruce Springsteen, Billy Joel, Hauling the Oats, and Steve Martin were all opening acts for either Cha-Na-Na or the Osmonds. He says Cha-Na-Na, and he is correct.
Yeah.
Please choose something off the table.
513. 513.
513.
Knock Three Times, a chart topper for Tony Orlando and Dawn, and Love Will Keep Us Together, a million seller for the Captain and Tennille, were turned down by either the Monkees or Paul Revere and the Raiders.
True.
True. The answer is? Monkeys? You say monkeys? I say monkeys.
Yeah.
Pick something off the table.
489.
489, yes. Go ahead now.
For the year 2005, the top earning dead celebrity in the United States was Elvis Presley or John Lennon?
Presley.
Elvis Presley, worth $45 million. John Lennon came in at a paltry $22 million. Please select something.
466. 466.
This is our last question. 466. I know.
Get back there in the red.
Oh, in the red. I'm sorry. Performance contracts for the band Van Halen stipulated that they be provided with a supply of M&Ms at every show, but all of one color had to be removed. Did Van Halen forbid brown or green M&Ms?
Brown.
Brown. We gave you an easy one. Come on, pick something up. Now.
Let's go.
All right.
We're going to do it.
419. 419. Larry, come on.
He's going to make questions up on the fly for us now. He knows the answer. Well, I simply don't know the answer. I don't have anything.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of
it. We can't think of anything that Larry doesn't know the answer to. That's the problem.
What convention did Alvin Gottlieb speak as the guest speaker at the banquet? Correct. Come on up front.
That's why you're a bad guy to choose, Larry.
451. Dave Marston, boy, all these guys know everything. Your choice.
Okay. Not the lock bar. Iron or yeah, plastic. You don't have to
go. Well, let me think of a good one here. What year was Mike Pasek put into the Hall of Fame?
2004.
Is that correct? It was 2 years ago. That sounds right to me. Come on, front. 507.
Someone home.
Whoa. 507, okay. How many conventions you been to?
Correct.
That's a wrong. It was four. I saw him at four. Who did Harvey Heist work for?
Genco.
You're not. No clues? Okay, the clues is United Manufacturing or Genco?
Genco.
Correct, my friend.
One more prize.
439. Was Steve Kordek, take it back.
Flyers or plastics?
Let me think of real good one.
What was the first company Kordek worked at?
What was the first company Kordek worked at?
Give him two choices.
Was it United Manufacturing? Was it Pacific Manufacturing? Or was it Genco?
I'll go United.
Give me candy. That's it.
Candy.
Okay, take over, guys.
Okay.
Just pull a number. We just got one item.
Go ahead. Just call the number out. This is a door prize donated by
Rotten
Jim Knight of Rotten Dog Amusement.
460.
460. What is this thing?
Opto.
It's a flipper opto. 460, anybody?
Williams type 2 flipper opto.
Is that right? You?
Ready to go.
Come on, huh? Norman Clark got it.
He wins it.
He wins some candy. Give him some candy. 503. There goes the 503. Come on front, buddy.
It's his damn convention.
Pass this candy back to Norm Clark. It's all the way in the back. Okay, we still got that?
Yeah.
Hold. We're going to give this away. 503. Who's 503? Come up. Here he is. He got it.
Okay.
Okay. Went. Okay.
I don't know. We'll
let it go. Let's go ahead. Just give it.
He needs it. All right.
448. 448. There you go, buddy.
Right.
Take it to Mike Pasek. I'll buy him off of you.
Okay, give
it. Okay. Don and I would like to thank you very much for your patience.
Thank you.
We're sorry about the technical difficulties we faced, and it's directly
we're engineers
to being engineers and alcohol. So
that has something to do with it. Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.